Blog Talk Radio.
Conscious friends, and welcome to the Dr. Sarah Let's Talk About It Blog Talk Radio Show. And I'm your host, Dr. Sarah Brodsky. So, this show tonight is all about living consciously, of course, and it's also about a relevant topic that we'll be talking about. And this topic is on living in a form of space of, it's really about addiction and everything that comes along with it from a more traditional point of view. So we're going to look at this from a space of really an ongoing, challenging space where people are suffering and really not looking at it from a different point of view, which is what my guest and I will be looking at tonight. And if you notice any breakup in the show, we're having some technical difficulty. So hopefully this is going to come through to you with ease. But sometimes, you know, we are left at the expense of certain things not coming in clearly, but let's continue on to whatever this is going to look like and bring the show to you as live as possible. So we are, again, going to be looking at the topic of addiction. We will be shedding light on a non-traditional point of view, which will be really about looking at a space of choice and possibilities when it comes to addiction. And so what I'm going to share with you now are some definitions of what addiction is, according to a couple of different sources. Now, the National Institute of Drug Abuse speaks to the addiction piece as a chronic relapsing disorder characterized by compulsive drug seeking, continued use despite harmful consequences, and long-lasting changes in the brain. Now, it is considered both a complex brain disorder and a mental illness. Addiction is the most severe form of a full spectrum of substance abuse disorder and is a medical illness caused by repeated misuse of substance or substances. So that's according to the National Institute of Drug Abuse. Now we have the American Psychiatric Association, which defines addiction as a complex condition of brain disease that is manifested by compulsive substance use despite harmful consequence. People with addiction, severe substance use disorder, have an intense focus on using a certain substance, such as alcohol or drugs, to the point that it takes over their life. They keep using alcohol or a drug, even when they know it will cause problems. Yet a number of effective treatments are available, and people can recover from addiction and lead normal, productive lives. So that's according to the American Psychiatric Association. Now, they also go on to speak to the things that really are part of addiction, the different elements. So let's say alcohol, they are referring to marijuana, PCP, and LSD, and also other forms of those types of drugs, inhalants such as pain thinners, painkillers, sedatives, cocaine and tobacco. So they refer to those as part of addiction or things that people can be addicted to. So now, as we do on the show, I'm going to show up with some questions here that we can really look at clearly and aim to clear. So we are going to explore those for a moment, and I'm going to have you be present with these questions before we bring on the live guest. So how do you define addiction? What does addiction look like to you? What difference are you willing to be or not to be when it comes to this? Do you share in the point of view that addiction is a problem that you have and define yourself as? Have you been wronged or have you wronged yourself for having an addiction? Have you been taught that you are helpless to it and you cannot control it? So everything that all this brings up, let's clear that now. Take a deep breath in and release it all on the exhale, all that is heavy. Or if you know the Panpak, go ahead and Panpak that now. Wow, thank you. There's a lot of charge here. So let's go ahead and aim to explore this topic a bit further. And I'm going to now introduce to you my live guest. She's a return guest, and I'm always grateful to have her on. How does it get any better than that? And her name is Liz Tupling. Now, Liz is a private practice integrative psychotherapist and conscious living facilitator with an office in Bloomfield Hills, Michigan. In her work, she's dedicated to guiding individuals, families, and organizations toward more fulfilling relationships and life experiences. Working with a broad range of clients, Liz uses an integrative treatment style to assist people in moving toward emotional wholeness and connectedness, while helping people better understand the role of their individual histories, contributions, and choices. She offers a therapeutic approach that encompasses the mind, body, spirit in its totality. So without further ado, I would love to welcome Liz back to the show. Hey, Liz.
Hello, Dr. Sarah. Thank you so much for having me back on this evening.
Well, I'm so grateful for you to be on, and I'm grateful that the internet is working well, because when the show first started, it started fading out again. So I'm grateful that you're on. I'm grateful that I'm here, and I'm so grateful to be talking about this subject. And what else is possible now? So, wow, addiction.
Yeah.
Addiction. What shall we start with that?
It's a big topic, right? Because it affects so many people, if not personally, but someone close to them. It's in families. It shows up in so many different forms, and there's so much behind it. So I'm so glad that we're having a much needed conversation about it from the point of view of navigating it more consciously tonight. So very pleased that we're talking about it.
I am too. And I believe we may end up doing a two-part episode on it, since there's so much to speak to it. And tonight being more of the overall acknowledgement of addiction and definition and form and structure that it comes in this reality as. And then possibly the next time we can explore more of the 12-step piece, because that's a whole nother space in and of itself, I sense, that could be well talked about on the show.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
So if we start with really looking at anything stand out to you in terms of the traditional approach to addiction, or anything you're aware of as a clinician and moving into that space with clients. I know for me, a lot of times clients show up to my space and really are exhausted and or at the limitation of any definition or diagnosis, when, especially when it comes to addiction, because a lot of times these different approaches really aim to solidify and define the person as the problem and as the identification of what this addiction is for them.
I think two words that you just said jumped out in terms of what I see as well, and very similar to what your experience is when a client walks through the door and they've been struggling with substance use and dependency, and that is problem and limitation, mm-hmm. and identifying with being ill. If you think yes. about the larger infrastructure of recovery facilities, residential treatment, and even, outpatient programs, they're typically referred to as a dual diagnosis facility. So right then and there, just the term dual diagnosis, mm-hmm. that's the infrastructure of formalized treatment in this country, immediately, it's not even subtle. Here's a diagnosis, here's a label, and here's what's wrong with you.
Yes. And then they're treated according to what their problem is rather than necessarily as the space of their being, of what they could choose to be differently. It's not even about it being a individual approach, because a lot of these organizations may encourage that, but it's really about getting to the person and seeing clearly really what is going on. And if we put it in a problem category, it really keeps them in the limitation from being able to choose something else. Is that something you're aware of too?
Yes, absolutely. And so many of my clients who have had challenges with substance dependencies will say that they're a real true awakening as they were navigating into recovery and sobriety is the realization and the awareness that they actually have a choice. Because when they're mm-hmm. in the throes of their addiction, there's a certain amount of power that the substance has over the individual. And so people often feel like they are unable to choose otherwise, that once the drug or the alcohol or the behavior, whether it's gambling, sex, food, whatever it is, that particular thing has so much power over them that they actually can't choose differently. And when they step into a space of being aware that there is choice, that even 5, 10, 15 seconds from now, they can choose something differently or different.
Yeah.
That's where I see kind of this more of like the openness and some expansion in people, but typically they're coming in and they're not aware that they can choose or that they're able to.
Yeah. And I'm wondering a lot, absolutely. And I am so grateful that you pointed out those pieces. And a lot of times these individuals have so much awareness going on, and instead of embracing that and really looking at it from a capacity and really a gift, or I like to refer to it as a superpower or X-Men capacity, what they aim to do is alter their consciousness so they don't have to pick up on so much because of a lot of the heavy density they are experiencing in this reality, and a lot of misidentified points of view that may even come from the same people that are saying that they're the problem. So if they have family members really from a point of view that this individual is the problem, or this person has a problem, again, solidifies the whole reason why the person may turn to something to alter that in order to get the family to see them clearly. It's really backwards and twisted. And even as I say it, it's hard to even make sense, but it's an energy. And it's also where people have taken on other people's problems to try to be able to be seen clearly by the people that can't see them. So I know I kind of threw a lot out there. There's a lot to that, but anything that stands out to you as I share some of that.
Well, it is. It's an absolutely messed up, ironic situation in that oftentimes somebody in the family system has to be identified as the problem person. And to your point, Dr. Sarah, typically that problem person is actually the person in the family that has wanted to keep the peace and has wanted mm-hmm. to patch things up, has wanted to make sure that everybody's happy and that all of the disagreements are solved, and they've ended up yeah. containing and then holding on to and being the receptacle for all of the family's waste, so to speak, and they've had to nail it down and keep it down and just tolerate it and hold it all in while the family then later at another point when the person is self-medicating, the family points the finger and says, oh, yeah, you're the problem person.
Yeah, when this person's probably seeing it all clearly and seeing it and calling it out, and the family doesn't want to see it. And a lot of times when, as we've talked about before, Liz, is when someone uses the word you and accuses you of something, they're actually accusing you of what they're doing. So how many times are these family members maybe exhausted? And this is no right or wrong to either side, but this is a lot of times what the pattern ends up being. So the family member will be really frustrated and overwhelmed by this other person not choosing something different. And then they'll accuse them of being the problem. And now the person accusing the person of a problem is contributing to the problem. So when we're actually looking at shifting this entirely, it's really about the person with the quote unquote addiction, like coming into a space of clearing that and really having other possibilities. And looking at it, this from a whole different point of view, where there is seeing it from a lighter space rather than a limitation.
Oh, absolutely. And in terms of just what we were talking about, the need to you know, numb and to kind of go unconscious and remain unconscious, so that all this heaviness that's floating around the person and the family. You know, and you can see it starting in kids and adolescents as young as maybe 11 or 12 or 13, where they're wanting to start learning about and like doing things like vaping and, you know, just some way to kind of shift their consciousness into a little bit more of an altered state of reality, because it's too heavy to take on what the family wants them to take on. They just are not equipped and lack capacity to digest everything that the family wants them to take in. And so, and then we penalize and we throw labels at people who lack the capacity to take it all in and want to numb.
Absolutely. And what's interesting, I appreciate you pointing that out, certainly, and where the child is carrying so much that it's just so overwhelming, almost wants to shut down and shut out, which is another form of what some of these drugs can create. And from a conscious point of view, and this is just an interesting point of view and an awareness, that this is not to make a conclusion about addiction or not, but from an interesting point of view on addiction, it can actually be more of like an allergic reaction to the body. Like when we're dealing with alcohol, some people's bodies cannot handle alcohol well. So instead of looking at it from this person needs a substance in order to function, it's more about like asking the body, like, body, is this really contributing to you, like to use alcohol, or is this something that it ends up using against the person in different ways? So it's really about getting clear on, can the body actually sustain certain drugs? For some people, it may not. And it may create more of this altered consciousness, which is where people can drink alcohol and have a drink or two and still remain very conscious. But if they start drinking past the point of consciousness, that's when it starts altering it. And most other drugs tend to alter consciousness entirely because it floods the whole body all at once. But with alcohol, there's a point where you can still remain conscious. So it's really about tuning in and asking, is this really contributing to something greater in my life or not, is a great question as well. So I know I'm kind of going off in a little different direction, but anything you're aware of on that, Liz?
Well, I think it is helpful to be in the question of, you know, with anything that we're using or putting in our mouths, is you know, if we can question, does the body tolerate this? Does the body, is it a contribution to the body? Does the body allow this, or does the body really not even enjoy it? You know, to just be in the question and be aware of what comes up and how the body can receive something, or really if it's just not interested in receiving it because it can't make a contribution that will, you know, benefit the person. So I love the direction that you're going with that, because it is just about really tuning in, being aware of what the body enjoys and requires or doesn't.
Yeah. And then the person, it's not a wrongness, it's just an awareness. So a lot of times it is kind of gauging it and being, like you said, being in the question, and also sometimes choosing, if it is uncomfortable not to use, it may be a time where the body has to go through some detoxing or releasing and dissipating anywhere it has carried it, or where alcohol or any other drug has been a hindrance. So, I mean, that's probably a whole nother topic for another show. But it brings up this idea of this different point of view that both you and I are speaking to, this is not likely being asked in your more traditional settings on recovery, so tap, like quote unquote recovery. So, I mean, I'm wondering even to look at that word can be very heavy for people because somehow you have to recover from something like there's even something wrong rather than what can I choose today to change my life right away?
Right, because recovery just, you know, the word itself has, there's an insinuation or an inference that there is something terribly, terribly wrong with the person. And, you know, from which they need to come back. And as opposed to, like you said, Dr. Sarah, just how can an individual just be in the choice? And they're two very different energies, aren't they?
Oh, they're so different. It's more of, if we look at kind of the two different frequencies that we've talked about, either you can participate in this very linear point of view of this reality, of this world, which is based on thought, feeling, and emotions, and that's a lot of where treatment comes in, that you have to change your thoughts, you have to feel your feelings, you have to get clear on what you're doing wrong in order to correct it, a very cause and effect reality. And a lot of psychological approaches aim to do that. Now, what I find with that form of treatment, it really leaves the individual out of it. And unless the individual fits into that program, will they get better? Now, some people do, and it's awesome. It's fantastic. I would encourage that. However, I'm aware that a lot of people don't. And they tend to land in our offices where they're exhausted by the treatment process and been, they know the words to say, but they can't live it. It's almost like it's a weird kind of roundabout way of being almost like talked into how it's supposed to be, but not necessarily be able to live it that way.
And I think around that entire scenario that you just mentioned, Dr. Sarah, is a fair amount of judgment. You know, as you do as well, have come into the office and have said, oh, I went to this rehab and I went to that rehab and, you know, and I was fine for, you know, 120 days and then I relapsed, right? And right there is this inference of I failed. I don't measure up. I'm not successful. I am too broken, too messed up. I can't be fixed. And so, you know, and all of those points of view enter in as heavy, heavy judgments that this person is carrying around. And so with each recovery facility that they go into and that they're released from, where there's a period of, you know, abstinence and then there's a relapse, this whole thing just continues. And it's, you know, like I had a client not too long ago said, you know, I went through 3 or 4 of the nation's top rehabs and it didn't work and I suck.
Wow.
So, I mean, that's heavy, heavy, heavy stuff versus a client that I just saw today who's, you know, just an unbelievably beautiful soul who is navigating his journey with substance from a more conscious point of view, who was in a very transparent, beautiful way today, just said, like, I'm overwhelmed by the shame that I carry around. You know, and I don't want to live with the shame and the heaviness of the shame. And we were able to clear the shame, you know, and be able to clear the identification with the label of being mentally ill and then numbing your mental illness with substance and clearing that shame and just and all of the everyone else's judgments that he's been containing within himself. I mean, it was life altering to shift.
Wow. Oh my gosh, wow. And you know what? What's coming in is all that energy, Liz, that you spoke of. So what if we just contribute to that now and for all the listeners that it's, everywhere this is bringing up all of that for everyone and everywhere they've been shamed and or guilted or blamed or felt like they were the problem and everywhere addiction has been used against them in a way that's been heavy. Let's go ahead and take a deep breath in now and release all the heavy on the exhale. Or Ponpoc, if you know that. Wow. That's intense. So thank you so much for sharing that. And I'm so grateful that your client is working with you and you're going in a totally different direction and bringing in a whole nother possibility for this person. Because really what this speaks to is the original reason for using is the same thing that creates this almost dichotomy in not using, because it's one side or the other, and actually sets people up to be frustrated either way, requiring them to almost try to get out of that. So it's almost like a setup for a relapse, quote unquote, because it's mm-hmm. it's still not being seen clearly in all these labels that they're all trying to get out of to begin with.
Sure.
So
sure.
I sense that when you start taking this kind of different point of view that we're speaking of, living consciously, living in the space of creation rather than the limitation, being from a place where someone can just be like, oh, I'm a being, I'm not defined by anything, what would I like to choose? It's relieving. And now certainly there's ongoing like kind of sessions that you and I provide to clients that allow them to get there. It's certainly a process sometimes. Sometimes it can clear really fast, but either way, these judgments start being removed and they no longer have to be in the linearity.
For sure. And just to piggyback that just for 1 second, and it may come up in a future show, but there's also this
yeah.
piece of ancestral kind of this legacy, this whole, you know, your grandparents, your great grandparents, this aunt, this uncle, you know, they were all alcoholics
yeah.
or drug addicts, and depending on culture and, but I think there's a lot of familial kind of implications in terms of, like, you know, if when people start using substance, immediately someone will say, you know, well, your grandfather was an alcoholic, so remember that. And so there's like more
yes.
judgments and labels put on you, like, you come from a family of alcoholics and drug addicts. And so, like, you
yes.
know, that's not heavy, right? Jeez, oh, Pete.
Well,
like,
you know what?
Like,
that
talk,
actually
talk about
is
a big label.
Oh, my God, just to compound it all. So I sense that would be a great place to finish up, and we can add that even into the next show and look at that further, since we are at our time already. I mean, it flies by. It's just amazing. It shocks me every time. But why don't we pick up on that and also pick up on the different treatment modalities, especially the 12 steps. We may end up being in that the whole time, for all we know, the next time we actually have the show together. So thank you so much for coming on, Liz.
Absolutely my pleasure and honor, and so grateful to you, Dr. Sarah, for all the amazing, amazing work that you do and the being that you are.
Oh, thank you so much. I the same extends to you, Liz, and I'll look forward to having you on next month. We'll have you back, okay?
Look forward to it.
Okay, sounds good. Mm-hmm. All right, so now the question of the week for everyone. This is the question. What points of view on addiction are keeping you stuck in an addiction mindset? So what points of view on addiction are keeping you stuck in an addiction mindset? So be with that and feel free to share any points of view that you may have on the picture quote that I will be sharing after the show. Now, for next week's show, I'm welcoming back another return guest, but it's a live show with Stephanie Kay. Now, Stephanie is a Detroit, Michigan-based female vocal pop singer and songwriter whose debut five-track set recording, Troublemaker, has earned her a reputation around the globe. And so Stephanie will be joining you and I, actually, on next week's show, where we will continue the conversation on living consciously. So I'm so excited to have her on the show again. So that will be next Monday, July 1st at 6 p.m. So I would like to go ahead and close the show by thanking my guest again, Liz Tupling, for joining us, as well as thank each of you, the listeners, for your amazing energy and contribution. I really couldn't do it without you. I'm so grateful. I would also like to acknowledge how grateful I am to be your host every week. Wow. So look forward to continuing to be part of this journey with you. So now go forth this week knowing I have your back, knowing that you being you and the difference that you be is the difference this world requires and desires. So go forth and be, perceive, know, and receive it, my conscious friends. And I look forward to talking to you again next time. Okay, bye for now.